Welcome to the Intersection Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about step one as it relates to trauma, addiction, and codependency. Talking about step one for life recovery, which involves addiction, codependency, and trauma. And the commonality for each one of these problems is that none of us can control people, places, or things in every circumstance, which creates powerlessness. It creates problems in our lives. And so, irregardless of what your problem is, whether it be an addiction, a traumatic circumstance, or the impacts of addiction, which is coined as codependency or a loss of self, we need to realize that our lives are unmanageable to some degree for everyone. Even if you're a person that has not experienced extreme problems, we can all benefit from step one, which tells us that. So in step one, which is we admitted we were powerless over our problems and that our lives had become unmanageable, the overarching law from life recovery that we utilize is powerlessness will result in strength. And this comes from a biblical principle. So in this differentiation of step one, we need to delineate some strategies to apply step one that I'd like to talk about. So in addiction, the consequences of it are far-reaching, and they really have a lot of devastating effects on relationships and also health. And due to the neurobiology of addiction, a change in the brain's learning, memory, and reward centers, our cognition is altered, and our behavioral patterns, mood swings, objectification, impaired judgment, and memory loss are just a few of those impairments that addiction causes. And so once these things happen in our life, they cause powerlessness, and it makes our life unmanageable. And so addictions in general impact the reward center of the brain, and which triggers a thirst for more of the substance or activity. And so those in the grip of an addiction have an inability to stop or moderate that use once they start due to this literal hijacking of the reward center of the brain. In all addictions, once the use of the substance or activity is stopped, the person becomes obsessed and with engaging in whatever activity they're addicted to. Then behavioral addictions are just as powerful and gripping as chemical addictions because they actually do the same thing to the brain. They've done SPECT scanning, which measures circulation in the brain and also oxygenation of the brain. And they have found that behavioral addictions, there's literally no difference between the two. So let's look at codependency. So in codependency, a person's boundaries will be blurred due to the intolerable acts of the addict or abusive person. So typically a codependent will experience repeated violations of boundaries, and which erodes their personhood. They have a loss of self, which is sometimes can be more impactful than actually addiction is. And they may sometimes need more 12-step help or therapy, group accountability, sometimes just as much or even more than people with addictions. So it truly is a family disease. And we all need to understand that in order for full recovery to happen, usually the entire family needs to go into 12-step recovery programs and or treatment to deal with these issues, this loss of self. So part of codependency involves learning to detach from people who are not taking responsibility for themselves. We can begin to set boundaries, limits, and understand what our responsibility is and what it is not. This step is often accompanied with pride, fear, resentment, and this is how our life becomes unmanageable. This is the ultimate result of these negative emotions that we carry around like a metaphorical suitcase. This realizing these things is the very beginning of the recovery process. Now, how about trauma? How do we delineate step one in trauma? Trauma is responsible for acute levels of emotional pain in about 25% of the American population, a pretty large sliver. And about 70 to 80% of the time, those with significant trauma develop addiction problems. Like addictions, there's a great deal of pain and avoidance and or denial involved in this process. The powerlessness is usually connected with persistent memories of the trauma that caused fear, depression, resentment, shame, and anxiety. Same thing. We focus on these negative emotions that we hold on to throughout all three of the afflictions, through addiction, through codependency, and also trauma. So what happens with people with significant trauma is that these intrusive memories invade their being. Without Christ, these things can overwhelm a person. And people with significant trauma need to realize that they block out people in their lives to try to keep themselves safe. They build up walls. They try to insulate themselves from harm because of things that they've experienced. Maybe it was a bad relationship. Maybe it was an abuse. Maybe it was a terrible, tragic, devastating event, such as a disaster of some sort. Maybe they witnessed somebody be murdered. Maybe somebody got hurt really badly right in front of them. It could be as simple as a car accident. Being badly injured in that can create a traumatic memory, and these things get stored in the limbic system, and they're triggered by environmental and also emotional stimuli. Now, the limbic system of the brain is the more primitive part of the brain that keeps us safe. It sees things in the environment that may be cause harm to us, and we're immediately triggered into that fight, flight, or freeze mode, and it shuts down the prefrontal cortex, and we don't make good decisions. Well, lo and behold, people that are frequently triggered are going to experience a severe impeding factor in their life. They can't operate normally because they're frequently triggered by these things. And they're not able to make good decisions, and the prefrontal cortex is really, really inhibited, and they find themselves in that unmanageable state. And so this is where the powerlessness comes in trauma. And these commonalities are that none of us can control people, places, and things, irregardless of whether you're suffering from trauma, codependency, and or addiction. So I hope that's helpful. Hopefully this will help you frame up your study of step one in the Life Recovery Program. And I am so grateful for the listeners out there. And I am praying that this information helps you to have a breakthrough. In Jesus' name, amen. In the very near future, we're going to be going over steps 2 through 12. So my hope is that you tune in and learn about these steps, learn how to differentiate each of these steps. in the future. And may God bless you until then.